If you're not happy with something, change it. Are my non-negotiables being met?
And that love is what I think makes up Cleveland and what is special about it for me as well.
Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point, and the point of today's episode, episode 73, is Ashley Carpenter. She's deeply devoted and connected to her family, including her precious dog, Zoe. Really beautiful eyes on the dog. It's incredible. And recently starred in season 10 of the Netflix series Love is Blind. From Aurora, Ohio, Ashley Carpenter, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. And my first question for you, Ashley, is what is the best thing that there is to know about you?
About me? I don't think people really understand. Like, I am a very empathetic person. I think I get like the RBF, like I get the resting bitch face a lot. People get a little intimidated by me, but I am like a soft soul. I'm a lover girl at heart. I just don't give everyone access to that, I guess. For me, it's important to show the people in my life that they're of value and I'll do anything for them. So I'm very empathetic. I'm that person. Like if I'm at a party, I see someone in the corner having a bad time, like I want to go make sure that they're okay. But I think that's the most important thing about me. And I'm smart. I guess I should say I'm smart too.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
it's always important.
Some brain cells that work up there still.
Ashley, you've described yourself as bold, outspoken, and outgoing, but you put it to a point that you say it's almost to a fault. Mm-hmm. What is the appropriate balance there, and how have you established that?
Yeah, I think it kind of just goes back to like giving people access to myself. I'm very outgoing. I am normally the person that says yes to everything. And I've had those people-pleasing tendencies in my past. Like, I want to make everybody happy. And I think like the most important thing with me now is setting those boundaries and making sure that I'm taking care of myself. Like if I can't take care of myself, make myself happy, love myself, then I can't really expect to do that with anyone else. So I think just making sure that I'm okay and like setting those boundaries, saying no to certain things, that's kind of how I keep that balance of being outgoing, being outspoken and bold.
I think sometimes we envision bold as someone that's maybe daring or like a certain risk aspect to it. But I think that a great part of the boldness that you're describing is that it's, no, I need to make sure that I'm taking care of myself so that I can actually be present in the best way possible.
Yeah, I want to show up 100% for whatever I'm doing, whether it's work, friends, family, golf tournament, whatever it is. Like, I want to make sure that I'm showing up as my authentic self. And I think it does take like a very bold person to do that in itself. Like, being yourself is sometimes very scary. You know, people get shy, they get timid, they don't want to say certain things because of how it'll be perceived. But just being bold and being confident in who you are as a person is, it's hard to do these days.
Absolutely. Have you always been that way?
I think so. I think my family has given me an environment where I feel safe and secure just to be myself, to be vulnerable, open up about things. So yeah, I think so.
So you're on an interview, right, with IdeaStream, and you described yourself as a big sign person. So, quote, a big sign person. What does that mean?
Yeah, I'm like super superstitious. Oh, I can't believe I just said that. I'm superstitious, but I also like, I don't know, I'm very into signs. Like, I'm very like, oh, it's fate, things like that. I think it's something fun, I guess. It's not anything that I'm like super like religious about, but if there's a sign, if like good things are coming and they're continuing to come, then I'm going to take that and I'm going to say yes to certain things. I'm going to weigh the pros and cons. And yeah, I think even when it's like stupid things too, I guess you could say. Like if I see a cardinal, it makes me think of my grandparents and I'm like, okay, it's going to be a good day. If I see like, I don't know, my brother's really into hawks and he always says they're good luck. So I'm like, if I see a hawk, it's good luck. So even things as small as birds, I'm like, that's a good sign. Like, that's good luck. So
I think they all derive from a deeper meaning too, yes, like you're saying. So it's not just the fact that it's a bird, but it's like, no, the hawk makes me think of my brother. Yes. The cardinal makes me think of my grandparents. Yes. And the signs allude to the fact that we have a deeper appreciation for whatever the entity is than just its surface value.
And I think it makes like life fun to have those signs. Like, oh, if I see a cardinal and it's about my grandparents, like, that's like such a meaningful thing to me. My grandparents held a lot of weight in who I am today and, you know, my upbringing, the relationship I had with them. So it's just like they're always with me. So if I see those little things, like I take it a little seriously, I'm not going to lie. So I know it's silly, but I'm really into those kinds of things.
No, I don't think it's silly at all. One of the signs for me is like a ladybug. That was always my grandparents. They were like, they're like the love bugs, which is so cute. So yeah. So
there's little things.
It's little things like that. You see a ladybug and it's like, oh,
grandma, grandpa, you know, you think about it.
We all want something to like, to believe in, you know, like if we don't believe in anything, then like life is really boring and, you know, we just go through the motions. So having those moments to just like take a step back, have that gratitude, think they're with me and like see a little bit of like strength, you know, confidence in your decisions.
So to that confidence perspective, one of the signs that you had said you received was to just go for it, to join season 10 of Netflix's Love is Blind. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about that process. What did that look like?
Yeah. So it was like a whirlwind. So I had actually just gone through like a breakup a few months before, and then it was coming out. Netflix was interviewing and casting for Love is Blind Ohio. And all my friends were like, you have to do this. And I was like, no. Finally, one day, like one of my coworkers was like, she was going through a divorce at the time. And she's like, if I do the application, like you have to do it. And I was like, all right, I'll do it just for you. Took a look at the application. And I was like, it's 200 questions. Like, I don't have time for this. So I like closed the browser. And then they ended up reaching out to me on like Instagram, like a couple times. And I was like, all right, like I'll give them a call. And at this time, like I said, I was going through a breakup. I had just gotten like a promotion at work. I got a new apartment. Like things in life were good. So I was like, all right, we'll take the call. I'm not going to get it, but like, I'll take the call. I took the call. And then I was getting another interview and then another interview. And then all of a sudden they like called me and like, you're going. And I was like, that is insane. And I was like, there's like 1,000 other people that they could have chosen. But I was like, no, it was like, I let go of this toxic environment that I was in for 5 years in the relationship. All these good things started happening to me. I was like, this has to be a good thing too. Like it wouldn't have been brought into my life if it wasn't. So I said yes. And here we are today.
That's incredible. Yeah. It's so true. Once you remove your, once the bad is removed, it opens the space that it was taking up for something so good.
Yep.
To that end too, you quickly became a fan favorite on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think it is about yourself that made you stand out for the fans to completely buy in?
I think, again, it just goes back to being your authentic self. I think this process, yes, it's insane. I will tell you, I was the biggest skeptic. I was like, there's no way. But if you go in there and you have the right mindset, you've done the work and the growth on yourself to be ready for marriage, then it does work. I think for me, I guess I just kept my family and like my morals, my ethics, my upbringing. I thought about that constantly when I was on these dates, like, will this mesh with who I am as a person? Are my non-negotiables being met here? So those things, and I think for a lot of women, they would probably agree, like the bar is on the floor, even men, I'll say it for men too. Like the bar is on the floor. Like we're not asking for much. Like my non-negotiables are like cheating and lying. So when I was in those pods, I'm just myself. And unless you give me a reason to not trust you, to like walk out of the pod, which I never walked out, but you know, to not have another date, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be myself. I want to make people laugh. I want to learn about people. I love learning about people. I love hearing people talk about themselves. And I think that's relatable. So I think I was just relatable. I was myself.
Yeah. Do you think that was a rarity for the show? Because a lot of times, to explain where I'm coming from, I feel like quote unquote reality TV in that style has maybe a perception that it's not as authentically true as you were describing.
Yeah. I think, with this experiment, all the women were amazing. I remember being there and I was like, if a guy chooses one of these women over me, then like they're making a good choice. Like I would agree with them, like go for it. But there's always going to be those people in reality TV that are there for the wrong reasons.
Sure.
And I think it takes asking those hard questions and, you know, digging deeper to get to know them to realize like, are they here for the right reasons? Are they taking this seriously? You know, I always said, there's a difference between having a wife and being a husband. I was looking for a husband, someone that's going to show up for me the way I'm going to show up for them. And you just weed those people out. And like I said, you ask the hard questions and if it doesn't match up, if you think they're not there for the right reasons, you don't go on another date or you break up, whatever.
Sure.
It is.
So I love that the difference in having a wife and being a husband. It's so true. You could apply that to every role of your life.
Yep.
Briefly, Ashley, can you just lay out the groundwork so that the audience, you and I are all on the same page? Let's talk timeline. Let's talk like kind of the logistics of how it runs through real quick before we continue.
So on the experiment, we go to LA for 2 weeks. We were in the pods. So this is where you have multiple dates. The first day we have 16 dates with the men. They're about 10 minutes each. And after that, they give you a piece of paper. They're like, write down your top eight. I'm like, what? What do you mean? You know, people had different strategies. They're like, I'm going to ask these questions. And I'm sitting there like, I'm going to go off vibes. Like, I don't know. If I can have a conversation with you for 10 minutes, it's a good conversation. I'll write your name down. So then, like, the next day, we go in, we have our top eight, and the dates are a little longer. You cut them down again. The dates get longer and longer. After that, you get engaged after the 9 days or whatever. You see each other after you're engaged. And then after that, you go to Cabo. You have, like, a little vacation, honeymoon, whatever you want to call it. That's where you see if the physical matches the emotional. And then after that, you come back. We were in Columbus, lived together for about 3 weeks, and then you have your wedding. Tight timeline.
Wow. Okay, so 3 weeks, so what, like a month?
A month that we like lived together, yeah.
This whole thing is like what, a month and a half? Is that right?
I think week eight was wedding week. So yeah, about 7 weeks of.
Holy cow. Okay, yeah.
And people say, oh, it's 2 weeks in the pods. I'm like, no, it's like 7 or 9 days. Like it's not even 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is even crazier.
Yeah, so I just kind of wanted to like establish this all before.
Your face
it's such.
Right now,
it's like trying to wrap my head. I'm like, it's mind blown, right? Like,
yeah. No, it's crazy. Trust me, I know.
Yeah, so this kind of leads me into a thought, right? So you were mentioning that, and there's this like old notion, right? You don't show all your cards at once, and you mentioned that not everyone gets to see this reserve part. Like you reserve it, right? And then you were talking about the RBF aspect. You're like, more than that. Like there's all these things, right? How do you navigate on a show that is so expedited, also withholding your cards, but then someone that you're engaged with or potentially going to marry and then living with, you would also want to have clearly a depth of a relationship to which you can trust that and know that that established trust is worthwhile?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think when you're in the situation, you can tell who you want to share what with, who's opening up to me. Do I feel safe and vulnerable to share my story with them? And I think that's one of the things I would think about. Like, if I don't feel safe, I don't want to have another date with this person, or I don't want to share this. So it's probably not going to work. I always tell people, like, I don't want the fireworks. I don't want to feel anxious in my relationship, I guess. I want the cozy fireplace. Like, I want someone who's going to make me feel warm and cozy. They're stable. I feel secure and safe. So if I found that in the pods, like I would be more open to sharing deeper stories that I had, whether it's my childhood, you know, even just like my day-to-day life, like, do you get access to that? I don't know. I have to feel safe enough to open that up to you.
And so throughout these 9 days in the pods, it narrows down to one.
Mm-hmm.
And then by this rationale, that's the person with whom you felt the most safe.
Yes.
Got it. So then.
Yeah. And it's people are like, oh, that's like no time at all. But these dates get long. Like, I think our last date before we get engaged is like 5 hours long. And I'm like, what are we doing? Are we going to like a concert or something? A 5 hour date is long.
That is
in a pod, time. Just like sitting at a wall. So I was like, what are we going to do? But yeah, it's crazy how comfortable you feel, because you don't see the cameras or anything. They're in the walls and stuff like that.
So creepy, yeah, sounding.
I know, that actually did sound really weird when I said it, but it's not. Like, you can see the camera. There's like a little window that you see the camera, or there's like a side window that you can see them. And then in the lounge, the cameras are all over. But you kind of like forget they're there. Even when they're in your face, you kind of forget that they're there. And that's what I was saying earlier. Like, my production team did such a good job, because we had about 10 people just following me and my fiance. They made me feel so comfortable and safe that I could be vulnerable, because it's really hard not only to be vulnerable with my fiance or the guys that I'm dating, but when there's all these other eyes on you, it's like, what? Don't judge me, you know? So for them to be able to do that, I was really grateful for that. And I appreciated them so much. And once it was all done, I was like, this is a breakup with my production team. I'm like, wait, you're not coming home with me? What do you mean? So yeah, I think that was something that really helped me too. Just everybody.
Much in that relationship sense, there was an online public debate about the relationships you've had with your family. Mm-hmm. And within that debate, one of the contexts that came out was that your dad is a divorce attorney.
Yes.
Who asks a lot of questions, of course, by his nature is going to ask a lot of questions. How do you think growing up in an environment that was built upon a lot of questions shaped you for this experience and for your life in general?
Yeah, it's just, I value integrity. Like, I think we all should. Why do we want someone to lie to us? And especially in that situation, I was like, why are you lying to me? Like, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to scream at you. Like, why are you lying to me? And that's why, like, it goes back. Like, are you here for the right reasons? Mm-hmm. When it comes to my dad, he asks a lot of questions. I am a terrible liar because of him. Like, I don't lie. And when it comes to your partner, your spouse, your friends, whoever, you don't want them to lie to you. Because if they lie about little things, they're going to lie about big things. And then once that trust is broken, it's very hard to earn it back, especially for me. Because I'm like, no, once you lie, I'm like, how am I ever going to trust you again? Mm-hmm. Unless you prove it. But how do you prove that until I...
Yeah, you got to be trusted enough to prove it in the first place. So originally we were talking questions and you're saying trust. Is the premise that if you ask enough questions, eventually you're going to pull out the lie? Like if you're skeptic about something and you just keep asking questions, like the lie has to be darn thorough for it to not fall flat on its face type of thing. Is that kind of where you're coming from?
That's correct. So people ask me that all the time. They're always like, you're never going to get another boyfriend with a dad like that. I'm like, okay, well, what you don't understand is if he was honest, if he had, you know, a little bit of vulnerability, a little bit of humility, even like to just say, I don't know the answer to that question with whatever my dad was asking, or to just be honest, my dad would have asked the questions differently. But he's an attorney. If he senses a lie, it's like blood in the water for a shark. Like, he's going to go for it and he's going to get to the bottom of it. The one thing about me and my dad is, like, we like to fact check. We like to get to the answer. And if it doesn't seem like it's the honest answer, we're going to have more questions. So that's why it was so intense. And, you know, people don't understand that was a 2.5 hour dinner. It was not just a 5 minute dinner of my dad.
Sure, of course.
Like, you know, just firing off all these questions. It's 2.5 hours. So, yes, my mom speaks. People are like, is your mom oppressed? I'm like, no. Oh, she's just like a sweet, shy lady. My brother, like, told a lot of stories from his childhood. But the good stuff is obviously my dad just hammering him with questions. And obviously he wasn't telling the full truth. So,
yeah. Yeah, I for transparency, I mean, I didn't watch a lick of any of it.
Yeah.
So thank you. I'm like, I don't mean it that way. I just mean I'm enamored by the notion that you have become who you are and you value authenticity and truth above all else. And to me, that's a seamless transition into asking a lot of questions into someone who is curious and growing up in a household like of curiosity. And
yeah. And I mean, like, to be honest, I'm getting married in 3 weeks at this point.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I want to know the answer to all these questions? Do I want to marry a stranger? No, that's not the show. That's not the experiment. Sorry. But no, I have questions. I want to know who I'm, like, going to be in a marriage with, a partnership with. Even if I'm just dating someone, I want to know you. I want to be able to go to my friends and my family and talk about you and tell a story and not have them look at me like a crazy person. And then I have to go back and be like, wait a minute, what was that? You know, it's just, that's how I felt all the time. I felt so confused. And, you know, after I even asked more questions, I would feel more confused. And then I could tell he was getting like angry, or like he resented me for asking these questions. I'm like, this is important to me. I want to know you.
That sounds like it would have been fun 40 years down the line.
Yeah. I'm like, who are you? I'm like, who am I like sharing a bed with? I'm like, are we on the run from the government? there were just times where I was like, what is this? And that's what I mean. Cozy fireplace. Mm-hmm. Like, the man of my dreams, my soulmate, is not going to be someone who confuses me or who disregards my thoughts, opinions, gets upset when I have a lot of questions. They're going to be patient and kind. And if I have those questions, especially knowing my past with a toxic relationship, he's going to understand that, like, this is important to me and I'm doing it for a very specific reason. And he won't mind.
Yeah. Ashley, it's like Taylor Swift. Like, you're having like a rundown. Like, people like the toxic ex is on blast. This guy from Love Is Blind's on blast. You're just like, give him a song.
My toxic ex, we dated for about 5 years, just a little backstory, but he did teach me a lot about myself. And that was one of the hardest things to do. It was very much like a narcissistic, trauma bonded relationship. It was very manipulative. And for years, my friends and my family were like, you've got to get out. You've got to leave. And once I finally got the strength, I left. I was like, my friends and my family will always hold some value in my relationships. And then I go into this experiment and I have no contact with my friends and my family. I'm like, I have to really trust myself, you know? And that's something you learn throughout this process. Like I said in the beginning, like, if I'm not happy on my own, I can't make someone else happy. If I don't love myself, like, I can't love someone else the way they need to be loved. And, that's what this whole experiment was. It was trusting myself, learning about what was really important to me. And then at the end of the day, it didn't work out with my fiance. So there's no ill will. Like, I'm very indifferent about it, you know? So it was a learning experience and I got friends out of it. So
Ashley, is there such a thing as a dumb question?
I don't think so. But if you ask the dumb question multiple times, then it becomes dumb.
So asking the dumb question one time doesn't make it a dumb question. Right. It's asking.
But if you keep asking, like, when are you going to learn, you know?
Yeah. 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 I think it's always a fascinating thing. Yeah, a lot of teachers always say, oh, there's no such thing as a dumb question. I mean, there's definitely a thing as a dumb question. It doesn't mean it's not worth asking, though.
As long as there's a reason behind it.
Yeah, totally.
A question. Like, you know, you get kids and they ask you like the craziest questions. You're like, that is kind of dumb. But, you know, they're probably asking because they're curious.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with a relationship. If you're just asking, you know, to catch someone in a lie or to make conversation, if it holds value to either party, I don't think there's a dumb question.
I was just curious. I also value questions. I think it's super important for conversation's sake. I don't think that we live in a world of tell. Mm-hmm. And obviously social media has shaped that all the more. And here's me just telling you what I think. So point in case, but I truly think that it's become a skill that has almost been lost.
Yeah.
Is the value to, or the ability to ask questions that have a value and that are rooted in something that actually applies to whatever is going on.
Yeah. And I think like, I definitely learned that through this process too. Like, ask the hard questions up front. And that's why I kind of was saying, like, you know, in this day and age, like, I think we call it like the ick. Like, you get an ick very soon. Or if something's off, you know, some people will still try to go and fix that, or I can work through that. It's not that big of a deal. But like, again, you have to know those non-negotiables. You have to ask the hard questions. Because if you date someone for 2 or 3 years and you don't ask any hard questions, and then come time for you, like, ready to get engaged and married and stuff, and you ask those questions, it's not the answers you want, well, you just wasted all that time. So now what? So ask the hard questions. Don't be afraid of the hard answers that may come with it. And I think that's what people kind of forget. That's something that my dad's kind of ingrained in me. It's like, be ready for the hard answers, because it's not always going to be like your way. You know, people have different thoughts and perceptions.
Yeah. The true sexual reality too. It's that whole idea of like, would you lie if the truth hurt more?
Yeah.
Right? And it's so true. I think in every realm of work, Ashley, there's criticism and there's negative attention. I think especially though in the media world, does that become true?
Yes.
You put yourself out there. I'm sure there was slack thrown your way. Yeah. How did you navigate through negativity and through the negative, I guess, criticism?
Yeah. That was something completely new to me. I mean, I'm in the Midwest. Like, people here are just kind.
Yeah,
they're nice all the time. So to have people like coming for me, and I will say mostly positive. So grateful for all of that. Mm-hmm. But the negativity was crazy. The block button became my best friend on social media. But I think it's just going back to my roots. And I know I keep saying that, but it's my friends and my family. And if I made them proud, if they're like, that's Ashley, that's the Ashley we know and love, that's really what mattered to me. If I show up as my authentic self, I represent my family well, that was what mattered to me. I know there's always going to be those rage baiters out there. There's always going to be someone that's going to have a problem. Can't please everyone. But just staying true to myself, and like, that's what's most important.
It's beautiful. When you received the negative criticism, what were the tactics that you employed to overcome it?
Block.
Would you like give all block? Okay. Would you, no. Would you give them a call? Are you like, hey, like,
no, I didn't.
Not the negative, your friends and family. Would you call it, like, is that kind of how you tap into it, or is it?
Yeah.
Do you handle it internally? Okay.
No. Yeah. I mean, if you're in my life and I love you, I value you, I want to show you that in any way that I can. So they definitely, like, they know. And I know my dad had like sent me messages before I left, and my mom did too. They send me like cute photos and memories just so like I have them as like my last thought before I got on the plane, and they take my phone and stuff. And they send cute messages like, I'm so proud of you. It was overwhelming. And I think my wedding day was the first time that I was like, I don't know how to word it. It was the first day that I truly realized like the support I had. And I was so emotional all day leading up to going to the altar. Just knowing like my friends and my family are there to support me in whatever I say. If I say yes, if I say no. All those people have kind of helped shape who I am today. And just to like see that in a large scale, you don't really get to do that too often. And I was just very grateful. So yeah, all those people, if you're in my life, if you send me nice messages, I want to reach out. I want to reach out and, you know, tell you how much I love you and I value you. But yeah, the negativity, it was just either block and, you know, disengage as much as possible. So
it's hard when it comes for the person, right? Like, was that ad hominem idea? It's really difficult to run through.
Yeah.
As opposed to if it's about a structure itself or about the way that you're actually doing something, then there's maybe ways to improve. But it's like when it's about you as a person, that's really difficult. And I think that's why I say that the media, especially that world, is a challenge.
Yeah. I mean, not everybody's going to like me. I know that. Everyone's perception is going to be different. For me, I did what I needed to do and I did it my way. And, you know, at the altar, I have this moment where I'm just kind of, I'm calling everything out, I guess you could say, but it was the truth. It was what I was feeling. It was my perception and it's my opinion. So I feel like I can give that. I mean, in this day and age, I think it's important to talk about things. And if there are women, even men out there that have gone through toxic relationships, narcissistic relationships, trauma bonds, whatever it is, they've been lied to, cheated on. I think those women really like resonated with who I was as a person. They kind of see the growth throughout. And that's what I like. It's not that I wanted to do that, but I'm mm-hmm. grateful that those women did relate to me in that way. Just kind of like remembering I'm not alone. And like there are women out there that go through these things, because when I was in that, I felt alone. I was like surrounded by people at all times, but I felt so alone. I was like, no one really understands. So to share that and to have all these messages pouring in, it was just really like gratifying. I don't know. Just knowing I'm not alone. And
yeah, it validates that authentic self aspect of it.
Yeah.
And kind of furthering on the support notion, you kept referencing your yellow team throughout just a little bit of the media. Talk to me how important it is to have that system where the people working with you are someone that you can A, trust, and then also rely on.
Yeah, my yellow team, that was my production team. So again, we had like 10 people with us, my producer, assistant producer, the camera crew, our mic guy, sound guy, all the assistants kind of setting things up. They were amazing. And again, they made it so safe and welcoming. My producer, she's like an angel. I think she knew every thought I had throughout the process, because I was like, help me. Like, yeah. I've never done this. I mean, it's really hard to navigate this situation. It's so unique. And I wanted to make sure I was, you know, doing everything, not correctly, but if I do something, I'm putting 110% into it, whatever it is. So I was like, help me, like, how do I navigate this? What do you need from me? Hey, this is how I'm feeling today. And she would kind of like help guide me, because they've done this before. So I think that production team, it really made the experience, because I think they had one night where like they had worked too long or something. So they had to have the night off, and I had a crew come in and it was just not the same. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can tell a difference. Like, this isn't my team. Like, who are these strangers?
Yeah.
They're still great, but they weren't my family during production. So
I think it's really rare to find people that at that level that you can work with and trust at like that.
Absolutely.
And then when you get them, you hold them close, because that's what you have. Since your appearance on Love is Blind, Ashley, you've had tons of media appearances as well. Do you ever miss just the life prior to it all?
I would say missing it would be, I don't know. I think life is all about growing and you go through mm-hmm. chapters. And I know this isn't going to be forever. I mean, there's a new season coming out soon. So like, I know it's not forever, but I think this experiment truly like challenged me in ways I would have never been challenged anywhere else. So I don't necessarily miss the life before. I think that's a different version of me that I still loved, but now it's just kind of like I'm flourishing. Like, I have so much more confidence. I know even more so what I want. And I think every relationship that you go through is like that.
Totally.
You know, you learn what you're going to accept and not accept. And I think I'm just more ready than I was even before going to the show, like, to find my person. Like, I know what I'm looking for. I know I'm not going to settle. And I have that trust in myself, which I still was like a little doubtful of before I went on it. You know, like, what do I really want? Now I'm like, no, I won't stand for X, Y, Z. And this is what I want. I want someone to make me feel at peace. And it doesn't have to be like, and my dad always jokes that I go for the quarterbacks. I'm like, he always says that. I'm like, you know, in the past you go for looks, you know, growing up, I was going for the cute guys and, you know, they'd treat me like garbage. And I'd be like, but he's cute. Now I'm like, no, I want a good heart and I want a good brain. So
yeah, it's going to last a little bit longer too.
Yeah, right? You need those.
Yeah. Not gone. Yeah. Yeah. True enough.
So yeah. But yeah. That's what's important to me. So I don't necessarily miss the life before. Mm-hmm. I think everybody can kind of see since my last relationship, since before the show, like I've gotten my shine back is what I say. Like I was like a shell after my last relationship, kind of like lost myself. And this not only like brought me back to life, but like is a new version and like almost like updated 2.0. Updated. So yeah, I got the update. So yeah, I think I'm loving this chapter of my life.
In this chapter, you've gotten to do some really awesome collaborations. Mm-hmm. Who has been your favorite collaboration thus far and why?
My favorite collaboration. Let's see. I'm really into like, just like supporting local, I guess is the mm-hmm. easiest way. Like I love Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati. I've done, you know, a few boutiques. This is actually from a boutique in Columbus, Coco the Shop. So I had so much fun doing a photo shoot with them. And that's the fun stuff. I got to do it with a couple of girls from the show. So, you know, keeping those relationships going and just having fun with this experience. It's crazy to think that I'm doing like photo shoots and like brands and stuff like that. But, all fun stuff. Did something with Emily Roggenberg, GV Art. So all those like fun things. Like I said, Cleveland photographers, makeup artists. It's all been fun. It's all these like girly things that I'm like, I can't pick a favorite. They're just all fun.
Yeah. Through all of that. And it's funny. I jotted all this down in my research. I'm like, ah, like you popped into GV Art after game five. Cavs win game five. Ashley's there. Yeah. What is it about Cleveland that you love and keeping you here?
Well, it's my family. My family's stuck here. I thought we were going to move away to somewhere warm once my parents retired. But this is their home and they're my home. So wherever they are, I want to be close. Yes, I want to move to a beach. I want to be warm during these terrible winters. But they're my home. And, you know, if I do have kids one day, I want to be close to them. Mm-hmm. I had such a good relationship with my grandparents that I want my kids to have that. I want my parents to have that. So that's kind of what keeps me here. I am ready for like adventures. Like if it's exploring certain cities, maybe I'm becoming a nomad. No, I'm just kidding. That's my fiance was a nomad, just so you know. I was like, I don't know if you know. But exploring, my family keeps me here. They keep me grounded. That's that warm, cozy fireplace for now. They make me feel stable.
Yeah, it's the exact opposite. What? Cozy fireplace and a nomad is like the exact
opposite. I know, but my fiance was a nomad and he bounces around.
Yeah. It's ironic, right? Yeah. It's ironic to hear, I want this. And you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a different story. no, I mean, like I said, this like experience just kind of brought out a different version of myself. Like I'm ready to take on new challenges. But this is like home base. I'll say it that way. I'll always come back to wherever my family is. If they want to move to South Carolina, which I'm really pushing for, I will probably follow them there, especially if I have kids in the picture. But yeah.
Family is so important. And for someone, again, I gave that to you in your intro. It's so apparent that you're devoted to that family value and just keeping that alive and moving and developing, as you say. I keep updating it. Yeah.
And like Cleveland, too, like the city, Ohio, it's the heart of the U.S., you know.
It is, by the way, the same thing. Cleveland is Ohio. I'm saying there's nothing else. It's Cleveland. Okay. It's just Cleveland.
I was like, don't tell Columbus or Cincy. No.
Yeah. I love to both of them, too, but it's there's a pecking order here.
But it's just like, it's a home. Like, I mean, look at the Browns fans. Like, they're just like so devoted and loyal. You know, if you're in this community and you're a part of it and you want to be a part of it, like, they'll make you feel like a family member. And that's why I want to do everything as much as I can local, supporting, you know, brands, photographers, businesses, whatever it is. It's just, they've done a lot for me. So how do I get back?
It is a community that's rooted in that, right? Like I'm sure Emily was appreciative of having you too. It's both ends, I think, as opposed to being so transactional, or same thing with the guys at GVR. Like they're gonna be like, this is great.
Yeah.
And that love is what I think makes up Cleveland and what is special about it for me as well.
Yeah. And you learn the story too. Like if you learn these stories of these businesses, it's insane how they grow and, you know, they're so involved with the community. So it's beautiful, beautiful to be a part of.
Ashley, going through this experience and having come on the other side of your toxic 5-year relationship, if you were to offer a piece of dating advice in general across the board, what would that be?
Yeah, it's asking those questions. I know I ask a lot of questions, everybody. Please don't come for me. But asking those hard questions.
You're getting blocked.
Being prepared for the hard answers. You can't grow as a person or as a relationship if you don't ask those questions, if you don't have those hard conversations. So I think it's just being that and being confident in who you are. So have those conversations, but don't alter yourself just to please someone else. I think those are the most important things.
Ashley, is love blind?
I thought it was. My fiance disagrees. But I very much think it is. Like I said, I want to fall in love with a heart and a brain. I don't want to fall in love with, you know, what they look like on the outside. And that's what this experiment forced me to do. I got lucky. Alex is a good looking guy. But yeah, I think for me now, and again, this phase and this chapter of my life, I'm not falling for, you know, the quarterbacks, as my dad would say. I'm falling for the heart.
So love is not blind. What about relationships? Because like hygiene, I know you've mentioned that before. Oh. Like that's
an non-negotiable.
That's completely physical, for lack of a better way.
I think, so that was like the third part of the whole experiment, is you live together and you figure out. I remember the creator, he would come and talk to us every single morning and just kind of give a like monologue basically about what the day was going to be about. If it was about, you know, growing up, family life, what you want in the future, if it was about finances. And he came in one day and it was about, you know, making it to the altar once you live together, once you know your non-negotiables, can you work through the little things? And I think he gave an example about his wife snoring. He's like, can I deal with this my whole life? And lo and behold, he is. They're still married. Knock on wood for them. But yeah, I think cleanliness, like I'm a clean freak. I clean a lot. My fiance at the time did not, and he had a problem with me cleaning so much. So I don't know if that could be a non-negotiable, but I am a clean freak and I need someone with fairly good hygiene or that won't mind that I clean, which is crazy.
I'm kind of giving you a hard time here, but I do love the idea that, right, like love is blind in the sense that you do fall in love with the depths of someone. It's the ins and outs. Yeah. And to that person's degree or to his notion as well, like, you can almost fall in love with the notion that your wife snores. Like, it might bother you, but it's so hurt.
Yeah, you fall in love with people's imperfections. Like, nobody's perfect. We're all human. We make mistakes. It's someone that, if you have something you're self-conscious about, if you know, like, you have this imperfection, they love you for it anyways, and they remind you of that. They're not going to put you down for certain things. And, you know, if there is something that bothers you, have that mature conversation. Communication is so important. Comprehension is even more so important, because you can tell me something 1,000 times. If I'm not going to like comprehend it the way I need to, I'm not going to change. So I think it goes back again, have those hard conversations, ensure that you're understanding each other and not attacking each other. I need someone who's going to challenge me in the right ways. And if they challenge me and they just put me down and attack me constantly, it's not going to work.
One of the challenges that I've loved lately has been posed to me by a poet named Lucas Jones. Are you familiar? He's an international poet. He's receiving international acclaim because he's posting poems that are really fantastic, number one. But number two, they pose almost a challenge inherently because they're about God, they're about the meaning after life, and they're kind of the meaning of life in general. And one of the recent ones that he posted in April was about the day you transfer over into the afterlife, whatever that is deemed to be. And you get there, he's like, you get the groggy off and you're in the afterlife, and then everyone there is like, well, how did it go?
Oh
yeah,
loaded question.
So Ashley, you cross over into the afterlife. I'm gonna give you an extra second to delay this here. You get the groggies off and you're like, boom, I'm awake, I'm in the afterlife. The people that you have loved before, you mentioned the Cardinals, your grandparents are there, and they're like, Ashley, how did it go?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great question. Or poem. I mean, I think it's gone very well, I'll say. If it's multiple choice, give me the options. No, I think it's gone well. Like, I'm very happy with the life that I have. You know, you go through struggles, you go through tough times. I had 5 years of tough times, but that shapes you into who you are. You know, people are always like, would you go back and change anything? And like, nope, I learned when I needed to learn. I changed when I needed to change. And I'm just kind of, I don't want to say trusting the process. I know that's so cliche, but you just trust in it. You see the signs, you take the signs, you make decisions, you weigh the pros and the cons. And if you make a mistake, you live with that and it shapes you and you grow. And I think that's really all anyone wants to ask for. I don't want to have regrets. Yes, there's things I'm like, wow, I was stupid. I was dumb. But here I am, and I'm living this amazing life. I have an amazing support system. I have an amazing job. Like, I love Cleveland for now, I guess. I can change that, though. But no, it's just you are in control of how happy you want to be. No one else is, and no one else should be. Like, you can't expect your spouse, your partner, your friends to make you happier. You have to make yourself happy. So I'm very happy. And I would say, yeah, if I'm passing over, I did very well.
That's basically the crux of the poem, is that it's like this appreciation for what you've had, and then also living what you've been given, the gifts that you've been giving out in the fullest extent that you can.
Yeah.
We have a closing litany that we dive into on Chats with Clark, Ashley. So it's five questions. We're going to rattle them off. The first one.
I always get so nervous for like rapid fire questions.
It's really not that bad.
Every brain cell in my mind is gone.
If you just took that one, these are going to be layups. Okay. So the first one is, my contention is that people who live gratefully have better lives than those who do not. Again, talk about a truth that I'm like, let's just be to the point. You're the grateful and have a better life than those who do not. So if you're grateful, you have a better life than those who are not. What role does gratitude play in your life, Ashley?
I mean, I definitely agree. It definitely makes you happier when you think back and you reflect on what makes you happy. And like I said, you're in charge of your own happiness. Mm-hmm. If you're not happy with something, change it. But I think it's very important to reflect at the end of the day, what made me happy today? Even if it's like in Cleveland, the sun was out, you know, that changes my mood completely. If it's like, oh, I'm so grateful for my car, it got me from point A to point B. It's so important to find happiness in the little things, because I think, especially with social media these days, like, we strive for almost the impossible. We see all these people online and they have these insane lives. Their marriages are perfect. And we're always striving for that. We're never taking time to like reflect on all the hard work we've put into our jobs, our family, ourselves. So I think it's really important to take a step back, see how far you've come, you know, reflect on what your goals are. How do you get there? And I think it's very important to have gratitude in every single day.
I think you're so right. And you hit the nail on the head with the reflection piece. Yeah. It's, I think, essential to being grateful.
Yeah.
The second question, which you actually kind of touched on in your previous response, is about regrets. Do you have any regrets in your life? And if so, what have they taught you?
I think I don't have regrets. Like I said, I think I'm here for a reason. This is where I'm supposed to be. And the decisions I've made are why I'm here. My dad always says the best thing he ever taught us kids is how to make a decision. So weighing those pros and cons, like, am I going to make the best decision? And even when I was telling him I was going on the show, he's like, no, I taught my kids how to make a decision. Like, I'm going to trust you to go into this and crush it. Do whatever you need to do. But no regrets. Like I said, even with my relationship, I was like, I learned when I needed to learn. You know, when you're in it, it's hard. You go through those hard things, but I was responsible for my happiness. And I stayed for as long as I felt I needed to or had the strength to leave when I did. So
I think gratitude and regrets are really intertwined.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it. Like, when you look back and you're reflective on maybe difficult situations, like, again, say that relationship that taught you so much in 5 years, I think maybe you look back and you're probably like, I wish it didn't take 5 years for me to learn the lessons. There's certain things like that, I think, that we all look back and it's like, all right, I would have expedited that process if I could. Give me the love is blind quick approach. That would have been awesome. Yeah. But
truly. Yeah. So, yeah, I think no regrets, really. I mean, yeah, I wish it was faster. But also, like, hard part with that relationship was COVID hit. And so, like, we basically quarantined together. So I was like, I'm stuck. And I'm in my 30s. I got to have kids and I got to marry him, because that's how it is here. No, no regrets. No.
My third thing is that I believe there's always value in having something on your calendar that you're looking forward to. I think it creates a zeal and an excitement for life. Simply, what's on your calendar, Ashley, that you're looking forward to?
Yes. Let's see. Next week, I go to Nashville, actually, with two of the girls from the show and one of our girlfriends in Columbus. So looking forward to that. Yeah, this is a booked and busy month for me. So I was just in Vegas for a wedding. Now we've got Nashville. This was on my calendar, so I was looking forward to this. But I try to stay like as busy as I can. Like I said, I'm taking advantage of everything that comes my way. Saying yes to whatever.
I love the travels. Travel is always something to look forward to.
I know, seeing the world. It's a Nashville stunt. So.
And you got to see some awesome artists in Vegas too.
Yes, yeah.
Can't beat that.
That was nice. That was fun. I did not think I was going to survive Vegas. I was like, I'm too old. Like, I need my 8 hours of sleep. I was like, I'm going to be in bed by 10. And I did Vegas. It was fun.
Pulled it off.
Yeah.
My fourth question is one of a newer one that we've added to the litany here. When you lay down at night, at the end of the day, and you're reflecting on the day, what is it that you hoped to have brought to the world that day?
That's a good question, too. I hope that I made at least one person's day better with anything. It could be like as small as holding the door for someone, or, you know, one of my reps on my team gets promoted. I hope that I make at least one person's day better.
That's awesome. Yeah. That ripple effect is great, right? Yeah. 'Cause then they go on and they make someone else's day better and just goes from there.
Yeah.
The final question is there any final closing thought, monologue, piece of advice that you want to give to a specific sector of the audience or to the audience as a whole?
Audience as a whole, I guess just like be brave, do the hard things. You're stronger than you think. Don't settle for any aspect of your life, whether it's a relationship, if it's your job. You can do hard things. Go out there, crush it, have the confidence, or fake it till you make it, to go do those things, because you never know until you take that leap of faith where your life can lead.
Some of the hardest things in life that we have to do are with the greatest reward as well. And that process is in and of itself is so rewarding.
Yep. High risk, high reward. So
truth.
Here we are.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been an incredible conversation with Love is Blind Season 10, Aurora, Ohio's own Ashley Carpenter, Cleveland, Ohio's own Ashley Carpenter. Ashley, I can't thank you enough for being here, for sharing your wisdom and your stories and just your excitement about who you are and, of course, the life that you are living with all of us. So, as always, ladies and gentlemen, there will be all of Ashley's info in the description below or in the pinned comment if you're on YouTube. We thank you for tuning in. If you haven't hit the subscribe button each and every episode, I'm telling you, just hit that thing. I don't know what you're waiting on. We keep delivering you top tier commentary from some great guests. And I thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Joe Clark, signing off of another episode, episode 73 of Chats with Clark. Thanks for listening.